Grace be unto you, peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends and fellow redeemed in Christ, the epistle lesson which we have just heard, Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 to 21, presents us an interesting, almost exciting incident. One apostle openly opposes another apostle. They are no other than Paul and Peter. Apostle Paul argues basically against an inconsistency in belief and practice, which may easily cloud the real issue and consequently confuse and mislead the people. When he outlines concisely in the verses 15 to 21 the essence of the gospel message, as we usually quote, the doctrine of justification by God's grace on account of Christ through faith, by no means through human works of any form or in any degree. Occasioned by this conflict, the gospel was clearly and unmistakably summarized. The text gives us much food for thought and a number of topics for some thought-provoking reflections. For example, how can we correct errors of our close friends and colleagues with clarity and propriety? How should we test the issue and practice in an individualistic culture like in America, and in a relational culture in the Orient, without diffusing, without diluting in any way the content of the message and the consistent practice? Did Paul do in a right manner when he was correcting his associates? In this brief meditation this morning, we have to limit the scope of our consideration. I would like to call our attention to verse 16. In fact, a key verse of Galatians, which stands for so eloquently, vigorously, and apologetically for the essential New Testament truth that we are justified by God's grace in Jesus Christ. Let me read that verse 16. Know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. It was the rediscovery of this message, as we know, that brought about the 16th century Reformation led by Dr. Martin Luther. The epistle to the Galatians is often referred to as Luther's book. He relies so strongly on this epistle in his writings and arguments against the prevailing theology of his day, such as of the scholastic and sophist. No less than 29 and a half pages in Weimar edition of Luther's work and 20 pages in American edition are given for his exposition on this one verse, verse 16. One may do a very practical study on this verse, possibly together with Romans chapter 3, 24 and 28. There, in this verse 16 in his commentary, verse 16, Luther takes up the late medieval scholastic doctrine on merit of congruity and merit of conditionality, that is, the so-called proportionate merit in terms of the due merit of the individual's own effort. aspect of free will, and that we combine merit in terms of the merit of the Holy Spirit's work in the individual. Therefore, it shall sound like reading a dogmatic book. But to both, these are somewhat confusing. These somewhat confusing and half-truth interpretations on merit vis-a-vis God's free grace, Luther said, no. God has never given anyone grace and eternal life for the merit of congruity or the merit of condignity. Then Christ has become altogether useless to me, for I have free will and power to perform good works, so they say, and through this I merit grace by congruity and eventually eternal life by condignity. Verse 16 tells us three times that no one is justified by observing the law, and three times it underscores the essential aspect of placing one's faith in Jesus Christ. Paul was strong, arguing against an illegitimate use of the Old Testament law, and laid the observance of the law the ground of the acceptance with God. And then faith itself is a gift of God, accomplished by the Holy Spirit through the Word and the Holy Sacrament. God works through Word and Sacrament. Faith is not the cause of our justification, as Luther himself often emphasized, but it is the hand by which we receive and appropriate to ourselves all of the perfect things proclaimed in the Gospel. Obviously, Luther was not the originator of this teaching. It was the central point of Pauline theology and the basic teaching of the inspired Word of God. This incident of Paul rebuking Peter gives us a few practical thoughts and lessons for us today to keep in mind. First, doctrinal concern has foremost importance for all and at all times. Number two, consistency in doctrine and practice should precede expediency. Three, mutual corruption with Christian love can be mutually productive. Finally, considering the central issue is the goal of all our deliberation. May God be with us and help us as we try to do this as pastors and future pastors in His church. Amen.